Welcome to Zion Word Ministries International Podcast. We are excited to have you for today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis. If this is your first time here, please stay tuned until after the following message for more information regarding our ministry.
You know, the Lord hadn't called us just to put on a white sheet and climb up some tree and wait for the rapture. Amen. We should be looking, but we have an assignment and a work to do. And God is counting on us. I remember when Will and I were in Africa a few months ago in the Zion Word Church in the village, jam-packed full. And after the message, if the Lord tells me, I give certain words to people, and it changes their life forever. I don't really understand it, but that's the way that it is. There was this one guy in a purple shirt, kind of like Will's shirt there. He had a purple jacket on. Remember that guy? Purple jacket on, and the Lord says, tell him such and such, and so I did. And then I said, come forward. And when he did, you ever see somebody play baseball and then slide into the home plate? Anybody ever watch that? I've only seen it once. Him. He slid into the stage like he was running on a baseball field. He slid forward, and I've never seen that. People usually go back, but he slid forward, and his feet touched the step on the stage. And I said, no, hold him up. And so Will and this other guy tried their best to pick him up. They couldn't do it. There was a hand on him. See, I'm radical. I know this stuff is real, people. Yes. And they couldn't pick him up, so they tried to pick him up, and they just got him up, oh, about this, kind of like this, you know, just barely head off the... And then I began to prophesy to him, and I remember saying, the Lord said, your ministry is going to increase. Do not fail me. Now, I've never told anybody that in 40 years. Do not fail me. And when I said that, that guy just come unglued. He just started crying and just, oh, just... Folks... We Americans don't understand what being in the Spirit is. Gone. Amen. Glory to God. I'm looking forward to the day before I leave this earth that this congregation, everybody has to be carried out the door. Yes. Don't say it can't happen, you unbelieving people. God can do it. Yes. Not against my will. Well, we'll see. Did Saul fall off the horse? Huh? Or not? Who knocked him down and rolling around the ground? Against his will. Don't give me that stuff. Now I want to be nice today. Praise the Lord. Have you found 2 Timothy 4:6 yet? Yes. I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Oh my. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I want to finish my course. Do you want to finish your course? Well, then we're going to have to keep the faith. Amen. He said, now that's a testimony. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, that's Jesus, shall give me at that day. And not only me, only, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Praise God. That's the rapture. That's praise God. How many loves his appearing? He's going to appear in the air, everybody. Keep that in the back of your mind all the time. Now we got one mission to run the race. It is a race of faith. Or we could say a race in faith. Amen. We need to finish our course, not just start and fall by the wayside now. We need to finish our course and keep the faith. And if we do, thank God we shall, by the grace of God, there will be a crown of righteousness laid up for us. The Lord Jesus himself will put it on our head. Praise God. It's called the victor's crown. And it typifies an athlete, you know. They run the race, they get the crown. Hallelujah. The reason that Paul and we shall receive this crown is because we fulfill the call of God in our lives. It isn't enough just to be a believer only. If you want to be saved and that's all, fine. That's not me. I want a little more than that come judgment day. How about you? Amen. Now, we're going to need to fulfill God's calling on our life. Amen. That's the challenge. Yes. And I must admit, it is a challenge because it's more than we can do. I know. But as I struggled with this last trip that I'm going to do by the grace of God in December, and I prayed all week about it, trying to get out of it, all these excuses and infirmities and things wrong and this and that and getting older and everything. And the only answer was, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. So, that's it. Hallelujah. That's it. In spite of everything that's going wrong, it seems, we have a destination. Now, there are five crowns that will be given in that day. I won't get into that. That's another sermon. But I'm looking forward to receiving that pastor's crown. That's another one. Amen. So the message this morning may not make you shout. We've already shouted, right? Praise the Lord. Everybody say, uh-oh. Not really. Today there is a push in the church, in the leadership of the church, to keep part of the law. Only a small part. This bothers me extremely. In that Old Testament economy, there was 614 rules and regulations and laws that you had to keep, every single one of them, to be justified. Only Jesus could. He went to the cross because we couldn't do it. Why do we even think we can do part of it? Now, first off, the ceremonial law was fulfilled in Christ. Say amen now. The second thing, the sacrificial law or the system was fulfilled in Christ. No more lambs being slain for sins. And the third one was the moral law. Now here's where we get into the problem. The moral law. Most leaders in churches, no matter what their name of the church is, what denomination, doesn't matter, they all say we must fulfill the moral law, which means to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, that is moral, right? There is no saving provisions in the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are designed for the sinners to drive them by the mercy and grace of God to the cross. The law, that part of the law, was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. After we're born again, we're not under the law, any law. Say amen to that now. But yet, the push is on. Now, wait a minute. You've got to keep the moral law to be right with God and be accepted with God. Well, certainly we ought to do what's right. Amen. Shall we continue in sin and grace may abound? No, God forbid. But I'm saying, the push is on to keep part of the law, and now we're okay with God. Now, wait a minute. Jesus either fulfilled all of it or none of it. Well, you got to keep the law. Jesus kept the law. And if I'm in him, I am a law keeper. But only in him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Be aware of these pitfalls that are coming into the ecumenical evangelical movement. I don't believe in the ecumenical movement. It's a mixture of true and false, Chrislam, everything else. And the Pentecostals are more gullible than everybody else. It bothers me. Now, Romans 6:1. So we want to run the race. If we're going to run the race and obtain the prize, we've got to stay out of any law keeping. Don't even make up a law that's not in the scripture. Well, I'm going to do this, not do that, and God will be pleased with me. No, God is already pleased with us. Don't try to gain favor with God because of what you do and don't do. I cannot cause God to love me anymore by doing something right or stop doing something wrong. After all, Jesus came to save sinners. He ate and drank with sinners. He came to seek those that were lost, loved them. Now, I'm going to make a statement now that I hope you understand this. The question, does the Father God love Jesus? I'm telling you. But here comes the statement, the Father God loves you and me just as much as he loves his Son, Jesus. I know it's hard to grasp, but it's true. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin and grace may abound? You know, the next verse says, God forbid, I believe something like that. So how shall we live any longer? Etc., etc. So, but what the church tries to do is, okay, well, we're not going to do the negative, but we're going to make a law here, and shall we continue in sin? You see, we can do something that's right, but if Christ has already done it for us, he doesn't need our help to finish the work. He's already finished the work. All we have to do, we just go along for the ride. Amen. And so a lot of times doing something that's religious and it seems good can be sin. Because God didn't tell you to do it. If Christ has fulfilled the law, any law, then why are you trying to fulfill it?
Amen, that's right.
God can't accept that. The only thing that God accepts is faith in Christ, and that is it. If we have that foundation, then we're doing good. Now in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, hallelujah. Galatians 3 and verse 3. What is wrong with my iPad, silly thing? Turned sideways on me here. Ever have that happen? Well, I'll trust the man in the corner then, okay? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you not made perfect by the flesh? All right. We begin our walk with God being born in the Spirit of God. Amen. But then the Galatian church, they got into this trying to make themselves perfect by their flesh. God can accept none of it. You'll see. So Christ fulfilled the law and all its requirements for salvation and sanctification. I'm repeating this specifically for this church.
Amen.
He either did it all or none.
Yes.
He didn't go halfway. He did it all or none. Now, how many is going to say all? Now, you're in the grace of God. If you say halfway, you tacked the law on. Now, you've fallen from grace.
That's
right. The penalty is not good. But nobody preaches this, it seems. Well, it's just true. Amen. He fulfilled Christ all the requirements that God required for us to be totally saved and sanctified.
Amen.
So the Galatian church was trying to sanctify themselves by doing something. And, you know, you can't do that. If the sanctifying power of the blood of the Lamb is not good enough, then it's not possible to do. Now, I'm not saying that sanctification is not progressive. There's some things we got to let drop off. See? And we have a part to play, but we can't help God in the process. The Holy Spirit's the one that's been assigned to make us like Jesus. All we do is hinder things. I'll do it my way. Well, you've made a law out of it. No, it's God's way or the highway, everybody. Now, I'm going to make this statement that we are law keepers in Christ alone. So when somebody asks you, do you keep the law? You can say, yes, I do in Christ. Amen. He did it for me, and he gave me his righteousness to have and to live in. So I'm free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's what that means in Thessalonians. The yoke of bondage was law-keeping, trying to please God, trying to do something right, but failing because we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Even with the Holy Spirit, you can't do it. Christ is the only one, so we hold to what he did for us. And if we do, we're in grace. It's a faith thing. Everybody say it's a faith thing. Now, there's another law I want to talk about, the civil law. Not much mentioned about that, but we go to Romans chapter 13. Now, I'll admit, we do need to obey the civil law. Like, for example, if I run the stop sign out here, and there's a cop that's not sleeping, I'd never give a ticket to somebody who just rolls through. But now if they speed through, and there's kids around, yes, I'd give them a ticket. That's the civil laws. The civil laws we must obey, not for salvation. The civil laws we need to obey. If they don't go against the word of God.
That's right. Amen.
Now, there are those states that legalize abortion. I don't care if it's legal and civil law or not. We are not to obey that law.
Amen.
Because it goes against the word of God.
Amen.
Same with homosexuality and transgender nonsense and all this stuff we got coming upon our country today. We're not to submit to that because God doesn't require that. But if you go out here and you speed 90 mile an hour in a 40 mile an hour zone and get caught, guess what? The civil law is going to give you a ticket, and God is the one that gives the authority to the cop to do it.
That's right. Amen.
Praise God. Romans 13, verse 1 to 7. Let every soul be subject to the higher power. Now, first off, this is talking about the authority in the church. But more specifically, we're talking about the civil law now, so there's a double reference here. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now we're talking about policemen, okay? Whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance of God. You know what? If I was a cop, I would not let somebody throw water on me. For $20,000 a year, forget it. Huh? These young people are so disrespectful to our police. Now, there's some good policemen, men and women out there, people. And they want to protect and keep the law, enforce the law, which is for our benefit. But there's some that are a little off, and they abuse your authority, and God will judge them for that. They resist the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. The next verse then, please. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? To that which is good, thou shalt have praise of the same. I mean, I can go by a cop just sitting there. Oh, I forgot my seatbelt. Uh-oh. Got to try to get it put on, right? Why is that? Well, we recognize the authority. I mean, those guys that get out of the cop car, you know, I've watched that, what's that old movie? No, well, they're cops are always chasing these guys in a Roadrunner and blah, blah, blah. And anyway, that cop gets out of there. He goes, boy, you're in a heap of trouble now. You know, got that hat pulled down, great big belly, you know. Yeah, Dukes of Hazzard. There's another one though, I was thinking about that. Never mind. You probably saw the movie. But, you know, I think it's kind of funny, but, you know, some of these cops are abusing their authority. Now, when I was a policeman in the military, if you assess me, you go to the booger box. And believe me, you didn't even want to go in there. Mm-hmm. The next verse now. He's a minister of God. Well, blessed are the peacemakers. Hello. Amen. To thee for good. Amen. It depends upon what side of the fence you're on. Okay? But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. I should guess. For he bears not the sword in vain, for he that is a minister of God, revenge or to execute wrath upon him that does evil. Next verse. You know, I think these child molesters and these murderers, first degree, you know, we're not in the law, but there's some truth to an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I mean, you go overseas in some of those countries in Africa, they kill the gays. They don't tolerate it. They ship them out of their country. They don't tolerate it. And you go back a few hundred years, and they would hang them out, hang them, and let them hang there and rot so everybody would see and fear.
That's right.
What do? We put them in prison and give them TV, pool table, swimming, exercise, and wife comes to see them on the weekends, and they got air conditioning. That isn't prison. So most of them committed a crime to get back in because they got better in there and they got out here on the street. So how are we helping society? No. If someone kills someone in first degree murder, they deserve to die.
Amen.
Well, are you going to be the one to pull the switch? That isn't my job. But if I was the one that was hired to pull the switch, I could do it and not be a murderer because the civil law says he needs to die. Is that strict? That's the way God looks at it. Well, the next verse then. He must needs be subject not only to for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. The next one, please. This cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. In the last verse. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You know, when a policeman pulls me over, if they do, I'm always courteous. Yes, sir, did I do something wrong? Not like these guys on Facebook, sassing them and, you know, just trying to, you know, override the authority of the minister of the Lord. Actually, cops are true cops. That's wrong. We need to give them respect. You know, because when I was a cop, I could just look at a car and tell you there's something wrong with that car right there. You can spot them. You can spot troublemakers. You know, once you deal with people like that, and they're always. But the problem is being a policeman is everybody's a bad guy. See, after a while, you get a bad attitude. You'd have one too. People throw water on you and rocks and spit on you and cuss you and throw milk on you. What's going to keep them from throwing acid on you, huh? They need to go to jail. We got a bunch of limp-wristed politicians, and God's going to judge them for not keeping the civil law for society.
Amen.
Now, I wrote a little article here a while back. Two laws, principles, or rules found within grace. Connie goes, that sounds like three of those sermons you preached a while back. Well, yeah, I took a few notes from that and compiled some essay work and Took a few quotes from people and put it together, something simple, but it's still true. The first one is the law of the Spirit. Now, Romans 8, verse 1 to 2. This is New Testament. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he says it is a law. All right? First verse says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus. But now there's some conditions to being condemnation free.
That's right.
Number one, who walk not after the flesh. That means the church has taught it like, oh, they're walking after sinning. No, they're walking after the flesh, trying to please God by good works and religious exercises, lighting candles, saying 100 Hail Marys, huh? Name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it. But not after the Spirit. Now, if we want to be condemnation free, we must learn how to walk after the Spirit and reject that of the flesh.
Amen.
Get rid of the bondwoman. I've often wondered why God, you know, Abraham had trouble in his family and Hagar and Ishmael, yeah, the flesh, say flesh, our own efforts trying to help God, and all we do is mess things up. He shall not be heir with Isaac. And so Abraham kicked him out of the camp. Now, I've often wondered why Hagar and Ishmael was out in the desert and they were going to die, and then God sends an angel, if I remember right, and water comes up and Ishmael lives. And why in the world would God allow that? When he wouldn't, well, he was from Abraham. But God can't accept the flesh. So one answer to my question from the Lord was this. You remember when Joseph was hated by his brothers and sold, he's put in a pit, and then this Ishmaelites come along and transport Joseph to prison. Basically, it's what happened. So God allowed Ishmael to live so the Ishmaelites would be produced and transport Joseph into prison. But it wouldn't be long. Joseph would be running to prison and be promoted right up under Pharaoh. And all of Joseph's family came in and they were all spared. They're all saved. Praise God. That's one answer. On the negative, we're still suffering today for Abraham and Sarah's decision. We have the Muslims. Anyway, the Lord knows. So, we're either going to go the flesh or the Spirit. Now, the next verse. The law of the Spirit of life. Now, that is a heavy subject. You've got to really think about this. There is a law. Not into condemnation. The only way to be condemnation free is to operate in the law of the Spirit of life. I want to know what that means, don't you? How many wants to know what that means? Because if you don't understand what that means and operate in that law, you're under condemnation. Flesh. You're trying to serve God by flesh efforts, and He can't accept it because you're out of the law of the Spirit of life. Now, we want to operate in the law of the Spirit of life. Here's the key now. In Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. This law is found only in Christ Jesus. Not anything or anyone else.
Yes.
So our answer is found in Him.
Amen.
When we find this answer, we will discover He's made me free from the second most powerful law in the universe, the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is still in force. It is very powerful. There is only one law that's more powerful than the law of sin and death, and that is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Someone might ask the question, preacher, how do I operate? How do I get in this law? How do I learn how to follow the Spirit and be led the Spirit? The only way to get into the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the cross. Say cross. You escape, invade the cross, you're out. If I come to God through the cross of Calvary, I am in the law of the Spirit of life. God accepts no other ways in. Why would we want out? No, huh? No. Now that back to the first verse. Walking after the flesh, okay. The flesh tries to overcome sin by religious efforts through our own abilities. That's the flesh. Now, we've all been guilty, haven't we? I promise you, Lord, I'll quit. Yeah, he already knows. He already knows what's wrong and what's right. And so just come clean, take the fig leaf off. Amen. And I went to a meeting Friday night. The minister was pretty good, except for two little glitches that rubbed me wrong. I'm a heresy hunter, Monty. Not really. I just want to be edified. I want to be ministered to myself. But it's going to take somebody that knows how to operate in the Spirit of life to minister to me. Not flesh. Amen. His carnal fleshly statement was this. We can defeat sin by our thoughts. No, it's not right. You cannot defeat sin by your thought process. The only way to defeat sin is the cross of Calvary, lest you go to hell.
That's right.
So what he was proposing was this. I'll change my thought process, which will change my speaking, confession, get it, ding, ding. And then that'll change my victory status, and I'll be overcoming by something I can do from within my own self. Nope. Wrong. We don't have it, even with the Holy Spirit, to defeat sin on our own. That's humanistic psychology. It must be rejected. The only solution for man's problem after salvation is the cross of Calvary and the blood of the Lamb, and that alone. So it highly upset me. He did really good until it popped the balloon right there for me, and that was it. Nobody else even caught it. They don't know the Word of God good enough. What are you upset about? It's a reproach against Christ. That's what I'm upset about. His sacrifice on the cross wasn't good enough to give me victory over sin. It was too good enough. God accepts no other way. Are we getting the message here after a year or two? You know? The cross is the only way we can defeat sin. Jesus defeated it for us. The crucifixion of Christ was not a defeat, it was a victory. Now you get off in a new age real quick in the church. Everybody go like this. Put your fingers like that. We're playing now. Go, hum, hum, hum. Cross your legs. I can't, they're too stiff. Hum. Hum all you want. It's not going to change one blasted thing. That's a Christian cuss word there, blasted, okay? Praise God. No, people, we do not have the answer within ourselves. If we are so stupid to think we can control the impulses of sin by changing our thought process, you're deceived. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't pull down strongholds. that comes in our mind. Because Satan can put thoughts in your mind and then make you think that you thought it. He's slick. In fact, I believe off the record here, so it's just speculation, that when you sleep, the enemy can put suggestive thoughts in your subconscious. And then the next week or so, these thoughts float up. And the devil makes you think you're thinking it. Well, first off, who are you? You're the new creation, are you not? So when these thoughts float up, whether it be from the devil or from your carnality or you just not have enough word level in your mind, we've got to know the Word of God to recognize error. And when the thoughts that goes against the Word of God come into our mind, we are to come against that and pull that down and not meditate on it. Because if you meditate on it, the first thing you know, you'll be doing it. And it'll be wrong. The war is in the mind. But I don't have the answer in my mind to overcome the problem. That's humanism. That's self. That's religious efforts. Well, I'll do what the Word says. We need to do what the Word says. But the reason we can do what the Word says is because of the cross. That's what I'm saying. Not your ability to do or not do. It's so simple, a theologian can mess it up. No, I must admit there are no answers contained except the Word of God. I was talking to Brother Heath about this. Anywhere we go in the Bible, the message is the cross. Anywhere you go, put a stick in the water. This and that. Put a stick in the water and then the axe had to float. Yeah, the cross first, the power second. Anywhere you go. From Genesis 3:15 all the way through the Lamb of God in heaven, it's all about Calvary. All right. Now, after the Spirit, if we follow after the Spirit, the second verse, back to Romans, if we follow after the Spirit, the way to begin to follow after the Spirit is to have faith in the cross, which is the only means of victory. Now, I know some here. I've known some of you 30 years. But I've watched your lives. And you've tried everything except what I'm saying. And I hope that you're changing. But I ask you, how you doing? Huh? If we keep doing the same thing, we're going to get the same results. We need to repent of the way we're thinking. That is true. I'm giving the preacher credit for that. But we got to accept what God says, not from ourselves, but from the Word. Then we can stay on the road. It was strange, the little word of knowledge that was given. Somebody on the narrow road is going to expand. It's the same principle here. I tell you, when the revelation hits us about the gospel, we've gotten away from the gospel. When the revelation of the gospel hits us, it is a full gospel thing, everybody. But it will clarify the Scripture. It will make our path easy to walk in. So the Spirit of life in Christ, the law of the Spirit, is the only means of victory, and it starts at the cross. Could I have an amen? Amen. So then life comes from Christ through the Spirit. It is only found in Christ, made possible because of the cross. That's what I'm saying. All right. Now, most people are free, but then there's a second law that I don't have much time to get to here, but we briefly covered the law of the Spirit of life, and there's a whole lot to it. But the second law, in conclusion this morning, is the law of the sowing and reaping. Amen. Does anyone remember those messages we preached about sowing and reaping? Anyone? Anyone? So if we sow a little, we reap a little. If we sow a lot, we reap a lot. And we can't be mad at God because there's no reaping because we haven't sown. If we sow, we shall reap. Now, how do we sow? You sow to the Spirit. It's the strangest thing that sometimes the Spirit requires this type of sowing right here that we carry right next to our heart. Get it? Well, it seems logical. If you need money, you need to sow money. Is that logical? Because, see, if we sow corn, do we expect to get watermelon? I mean, we'll go out there and we'll plant a garden and worry all night. I wonder if that seed is growing. Oh, is that seed growing? Oh, we're not worried about that. Because it's a law. Do you follow what I'm saying? It is that way in every aspect of life. Just because you don't believe it, God's not going to change it. Now, how y'all doing? Well, you're starting to condemn me. No, you condemn yourself by the things that you allow. I'm just the messenger boy. That's all. Amen. If we don't like the way things are going, we need to change now. Well, how do we quit sowing? How do we quit reaping bad stuff? Just quit sowing bad seed. Quit it. Start sowing some good seed, and after a while, the bad seed will die out. You'll get victory as you walk after the Spirit and mind the law of the Spirit. Now, there's no condemnation. I had a man years ago come in. As you go to Hebrews 11:6, and we'll close with this. God forbid I should get on tithing. Oh, no. Better not do that. Quench the Spirit. Uh-huh. Well, it is a rule. There was a man who came in church a couple years ago, and he was a believer, I think. I don't know how long he stayed a believer trying to keep the Sabbath day. We're going to tack on a little law here. God won't accept it. Besides that, that's a Jewish Sabbath. I'm Gentile. Either Christ fulfilled it all or he didn't. Besides that, these people who go to church on Saturday are actually going to church on Sunday. Because the Jewish Sunday starts at 6 p.m. Saturday. Now they broke the Sabbath. So they didn't go to church on Friday night. You didn't get it, did you? The Jewish day starts at 6 p.m. before 12 a.m. So if we're going to church on a Saturday night at 7 o'clock and saying we're keeping the Sabbath, no, we're going to church on Sunday. Sunday is considered Saturday night, 6 p.m. to Sunday night, 6 p.m. So when we get out of church at 7 o'clock tonight, actually we're in Monday. It's clear as mud, isn't it? Well, if you want to strengthen a gnat, but we're Gentiles, it doesn't mean anything. I wish we'd go to church every day. But don't make a rule out of it, a law out of it. Well, are you going to get baptized in the church? Oh, you've made a law out of that now. See, I have to combat all this stuff, and I know most of you understand this. But people out there by the thousands do not understand. They will deceive you and bring you under one of their laws, and you'll be condemned by the thing that you allow because you didn't heed the word of God that's preached in this church. Amen. So when we try to serve God any other way than faith and grace, we'll fail. I'm not saying we'll be lost automatically. God works with people until they die. But I don't want to fight God. My goodness. Fight His way. If we try to serve God and please God any other way than the cross and the Spirit of life, the law of the Spirit of life, then we're going to fail. Because we're sowing to the flesh and not the Spirit. Abraham and Sarah sowed the flesh. Guess what? They reaped the flesh. In Hebrews 11:6, let me point this out and then we'll be done this morning. We're all taking our medicine, but not very cheerful today. This is writing to Christians. That's the point. I want you to get this. This scripture is for believers. And for many years, well, you know, if they come to God, they got to come in faith, talking about a sinner coming to Christ. Well, certainly, but we come the same way. The cross. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, I'm talking to Christians. This scripture is talking to Christians. He that comes to God must believe that He is. Amen. And here comes the good part. He rewards them that diligently seek Him. How can we diligently seek Him? By operating in the law of the Spirit. By sowing to the Spirit, being led to the Spirit, obeying the Spirit, sowing to the Spirit, so forth and so on. God will reward us. But it must be an ongoing, diligent effort. Run the race. It's a race of faith, but that race of faith must be in Christ alone. When it comes dying time, everybody, only one thing that matters. We trusted Christ with our soul at Calvary. And that's it. It takes it all out of our hands. We're helpless. I know, but God's faithful. The Savior is faithful. Drop down to verse 16 now. Hallelujah. I'll fix the iPad when I get home, Lord willing. Or I'll buy me another one. I'm rich. Hallelujah. Your preacher's got a lot of money. You can buy 1,000 iPads. No, not really. Maybe I wrote down the wrong verse here. Let me check my note. Well, let me read it, see if it works. No, that's not it. Let's go back to 6, verse 6. Maybe the thought will come to my mind before I am getting older. Let me look in here. Can everybody say praise the Lord for just a minute? I'm not trying to impress anybody right now. Couldn't impress anybody anyway. Barry Link. Let me find it here. It's 4:16, I'm sorry. Hebrews 4:16. Can't read writing when it's wrote. Amen. All right. Remember now, before we read this, he that comes to God must believe that he is. It's impossible to please God without faith. So our faith is anchored in the cross and what Jesus did for us only. Okay? Now the Holy Spirit equips us for service over the top. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find and grace to help in time of need. That's talking to Christians. Amen. How do we come to God? By faith. Only one way, the sacrifice. Every time we approach the throne of God, throne of God's grace, boldly. Why? Because I accept the cross. Amen. I can boldly come in now. The Father God will accept me every single time, no matter what's happened or it hadn't happened. I can come to my Father because the blood makes a difference in my life, and so does it yours. Hallelujah. Let's stand up to God.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Dr. R.L. Davis, pastor and overseer of Zion Word Ministries International. If you're looking for a way to get plugged into what we are doing, you can visit our website at zwmi.com or jump over to our Facebook page at Zion Word Ministries International. You can also subscribe to our podcast in other ways such as iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. Thank you for being here, and remember to keep the faith and stay in grace.